Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I want to share a little thought with you out of this chapter tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, fill my cup, please. Go get me a new one. Please. While you're turning, I want to say it's a real joy to be back in service tonight. And appreciate the goodness of God. Appreciate the Lord helping us this week. I've enjoyed being here. And I don't think I've ever done what we've done this week. Start on Wednesday night and then skip tonight and then come back. But the Lord knows what He's doing, doesn't He? Amen. We had a good crowd last night, by the way, on Saturday night, and a good crowd this morning. I don't know how many was here this morning, but I had a whole stack of faith promise cards. I'm talking about a thick stack, and they ran out. They tell me, thank you, Pastor, you're a good man. Give him a raise, Leslie. They tell me that as a whole stack, and they told me they ran out of faith promise cards this morning. Everybody didn't get one. If you did not get one, raise your hand. If you don't have, I cannot believe that. Brother Robert, will you help me out? And there's a lot of people back there that didn't get a faith promise card. That corner of the church back there has got bukus of money. So be sure. If you don't have a faith promise card, be sure and get one, all right? And again, it doesn't cost you a dime to get a card. Just get it, hang on to it. And I want to say this while you're doing that. Again, thank you for letting me be here and be in this meeting. Of course, I'd be here if I wasn't preaching because this is my home church. And I proudly, every week when I'm somewhere preaching, with pride in my heart, I tell them I'm a member of the Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Logap, North Carolina, and my son's my pastor. What a joy, man. What a joy. I appreciate that. My dad and I got to preach together just a few times, not many. Not many at all, just maybe probably less than a half a dozen times he and I got to preach together. And well, I'll tell you what, that was such a blessing, and I'm glad I can come and preach in my son's church, which is my church. I'm a member here, too, and it's such an honor for me to be here this week. And I'll just say this, I don't know anywhere I've been this year, and I've been a lot of places, that I've enjoyed more and more honored to be at and to be in this position than where I've been this week. And I want to thank you for allowing me to be here. I thank the pastor for allowing me to preach this particular meeting on faith promise. And what a joy it is to be here and be a part of the service tonight. And I do appreciate it tonight. I appreciate your prayers. And do remember my wife and I, we're very, very busy these days. And do remember some prayer. I pray God will help us. I think I've got maybe, two Sundays, I think, between now and the end of the year that I'm not some more preaching. And, of course, that's Christmas. And so anyhow, do remember some prayer, meeting after meeting after meeting. So do remember some prayer, if you will. You got your faith promise card? Let me say this word about it tonight. I'm not going to say a whole lot about it preaching tonight. I will, but I won't. You'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. Now, on that faith promise card, again, if you look on the front of it, it said, in dependence upon God, I would endeavor to give each week towards a worldwide mission work of Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Whatever you feel God has put in your heart to give to missions, and I told you this morning, I've told you every night this week, this doesn't have a thing to do with tithing. And by the way, you ought to tithe to your local church. I'm going to say that again. By the way, you ought to tithe. Everybody ought to tithe. Amen. And by the way, you do whether you want to or not. You can give it to the mechanic. You can give it to the doctor's office. You can give it to the plumber. Say amen, Brother Mark. Where you at? And you can give it to... Hey, you tithe, I promise you. So I'd rather just go ahead and give it because it's his anyhow. What I want to say to you tonight, this is above all that. You already know that. You trust God for that mission offering above the tithe, above the other offerings. And on that, you fill out that little card, put you the amount that you feel God wants to give through you this year. And the preacher said, we're not taking them up, so you just hang on to it and put it in a place where you pray to remind you every week of what God has put in your heart to give to missions. And I know God will bless you for that. Hey, how can you but help give to missions after what we just got done seeing? And after what we just got done hearing? And, man, what a blessing tonight. And I praise God for it. And I'm glad I have a part of that myself because I tithe and give the faith promise through this church. And I appreciate what the Lord's doing here. I sure do. And it's so good to see this good number back in service tonight. And man, you need a building. This morning, I'm telling you, had the junior church been here this morning, I don't know where you'd have put them. And that's a good problem. Did y'all know that? Hey, I know where this church is at tonight. It's taking pews out. They're shortening their auditorium because nobody much has come. How sad that is. And get this right here. 600 churches, no, not 600, 6,000 churches this year in the United States will shut their doors and go out of business. That's in the United States. Are you listening to me? And thank God for what He's doing here on the hill. Amen. And I praise the Lord for what He's doing. Why don't you look with me tonight again. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me be a part of the meeting. And, of course, I would have been here had I not been preaching somewhere else. I would have been here anyhow. But I appreciate the opportunity. I really do. And it's so good to be here and be in service tonight. I feel at home here. I mean that. I feel at home. I really do. And I bless the Lord for His goodness tonight. 5 years ago when I left the pastorate, I did not have to pray long about where to put my membership, what church to work out of. I promise you I didn't have to pray long about that at all. God showed me real quick. God showed me before I ever resigned what I was going to be. And so I'm glad to be a part of the amazing grace. Boy, isn't it amazing? Amazing. I was out front one day this week, and I saw the block out there where it says when the church was started, 1985. Am I right about that? 1985, Brother Easter. And from that day to this day, how amazing. How amazing. How amazing. And I praise the Lord for what the Lord's done here, what He is doing. I preached in this church 53 times before your pastor ever come here. Most of y'all wasn't here, but I really did. I didn't. And Brother Robert remembers every message I preached. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's stand together, please. Of course, if you know anything about your Bible, you know what these verses are about. The first 7 chapters of 2 Corinthians deals with Christian living, and I'm not going to dwell on this because I preached on this part right here before. But chapter 8, chapter 9, deals with Christian giving. And Paul sums it up here in chapter number 9 by showing us how that God will work through us to give to missions. And again, I'm not going to deal with that part of it very much at all. I just want to brag on the Lord tonight, okay? But in this chapter, those first 7 chapters, he deals with Christian living. Chapter 8, chapter 9, he deals with Christian giving. And he's summing up chapter number 9, and notice what he says in verse 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. You'll reap what you sow. And you really, really will. I planted 2 rows of crowder peas. And they are the things that just keeps on giving. That's my wife. You reap what you sow. Notice the next verse. Every man according to his purpose in his heart. Can I tell you what that means? That simply means that gift or that offering that God has put in your heart to give the missions. That God has laid on you. And that's what faith promise is about. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly nor necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I'm not going to preach on giving much, but I want to say this about that. That don't have a thing to do with tithing. I hear a lot of people use that for tithing, but that's not talking about tithing. Tithing is not whether or not you purpose in your heart to do it or not do it. Tithing is a concrete doctrine that never changes. Amen. It's talking about a mission offering. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudging nor necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, be abound to every good work. Thank you for sending you to be seated tonight. I'm interested tonight in one statement that's found here in verse number 8 tonight. Why don't you look at verse number 8 again? The Bible said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. I'm interested in this statement tonight. And God is able. Hello, hello. I said, and God is able tonight. If you study the word able, you'll find that it's a good Bible term that's mentioned in our Bible quite often. Matter of fact, in our King James Bible, it's mentioned 210 times. And I want to say this to you tonight. I'm glad to report to you this afternoon that God is able tonight. He's bigger than any mountain. He's bigger than all your doubts. He's bigger than all your unbelief. And I say to you tonight, God is able this evening. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing tonight. But I'm glad to report to you tonight. Thank God, God is able this evening. And I bless his good name. I thought about this verse when I said in today. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is also able had to save to the uttermost. I thought about this verse also. Jude, verse 24. Now, unto him that is able had to keep you from falling. I want to say to you, church, tonight, God is able tonight. You'll say, well, now, Brother Mark, you talk about giving and faith promise and our church here is getting ready to go into a building program. It's probably going to wind up being $800 or $1 million. Hey, can I tell you something tonight? God's able. I said, bless the Lord, God's able tonight. I say, bless his name, thank God. He's able this evening. Can I just say this tonight? I might not be able, but God is able. You may not be able, but God is able. The church may not be able, but God is able. Hey, a mission board may not be able, but God is able. The Baptist is not able, might not be able, but God is able tonight. And let me just say this for our priest tonight. God's been able in the past. You know how I know that? My daddy told me that. I want to say God's been able in the present. You know why? Because I've been experiencing it 52 years. And I want to say to you young people tonight, God's going to be able in the future. He's able in the past for my daddy. He's able in the present for myself. But thank God he's able in the future for you young people tonight. And I will thunder it from the mountaintop and say God is able tonight. I say hallelujah, God is able this evening. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're thinking. And probably some of you thinking this thing about faith promise. How in the world? How's that going to work out? Hey, here's how it's going to work out. God is able. By the way, how big's your God? I'm saying to you tonight, thank God, God is able this evening. When I went to Turner's Creek in 1985, matter of fact, first day of 85, when this church was started, first day of 85 when I went to Turner's Creek, I hadn't been there long, and I began to realize I had a shadow. Everywhere I went, I had a shadow behind me. And I turned around and looked, and it was a guy by the name of Darrell Beatty. And, Darrell, boy, Darrell loved me everywhere I went. Darrell was right on my heels. Had a shadow everywhere I went. And old Darrell graduated from high school, and he went to work at Hardee's. And he worked there for years and years. And all he done was sweep the parking lot. They wouldn't let him hardly in the building. And he swept the parking lot. The last few years he was there, he got a promotion, and he was able to run the cash register. And I never will forget this. Those people would drive through Hardee's and go through the drive-thru. You know what Darrell would do? Darrell would run right up to their car and say, hey, how big's your God? Scare them people to death. And listen to me tonight. I'll say to you tonight, how big's your God tonight? I want to say, church, God's able tonight. I say, thank God, God's able this evening. Hey, listen, has it ever dawned on you? God cannot fail. God has never failed, and God cannot fail this evening. I'm glad to tell you now, thank God. Hey, God is able this evening. Faith is not believing God can. Faith is believing God will. Can I say that again? Faith is not believing God can, but faith tonight is believing how that God will this evening. And I want to say to you tonight, church, as you enter this building program, as we enter this new year as far as our faith promise is concerned, I'll tell you tonight, God is able tonight. I said, God is able tonight. You know what he told Joshua? He said, listen, I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. I won't turn my back on you. How about I'll be with you? And I'll say to you as a church tonight, God is able tonight. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever trial you're in, I say tonight, God is able this evening. Are you hearing me this evening? Look at verse number 8 again. But I said in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace have bound toward you. Notice the word God in that verse. And God, I got to sitting on that, and I found out it's the same Hebrew word that's found in Genesis 1:1. It's the word Elohim. And it means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You say, what does all that mean? That means all the authority of heaven is behind that statement. Y'all ain't getting what I'm preaching. All the authority of heaven is behind that statement. And all the authority behind in heaven, God is able. I say God, listen to me tonight. If God fail, that would hinder and that would be damaging to the character of God. That's never going to happen. I'm telling you that. Hey, I was saying tonight, thank God, God is able this evening. And when I think about this verse here in the Hebrew, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, I'll say to you tonight, God is able tonight. It doesn't matter, and by the way, he doesn't change. Bible said in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, and I change not. The God of yesterday is a God of today. The God of my forefathers is a God of right now. I want to say, praise God, hallelujah, God's able this evening. Now, I wrote down my outline at this point. Say amen. Amen. So I want to say to you, God is able tonight. Whatever the situation may be, God is able tonight. You said, well, Brother Barker, you don't understand what I'm facing or what I'm going through. You ain't hooked up with me yet. I'm telling you this afternoon, God's able. I promise you tonight, whatever the situation is, whether it's given to missions, and that's the context of the scripture here, whether it's that or whatever you're going through tonight, I want to say praise God. Hallelujah. He's not dead. He's not sick. I'm telling you this evening, he's alive. He's alert. Thank God. He knows where I'm at. God's able this evening. Now, I'm asking four places. I wish I hadn't told you four. But I want to mention four places and show you from the Bible tonight how God's able. Two of them is in this text, and two of them is away from this text, but I'll be back before I get done. First of all tonight, flip back one page. Notice in chapter number 8. The Bible says in chapter 8, watch this verse. Look at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or witness of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And I'm not going to preach this because I've already preached it here. What Paul is doing, he's showing those Corinthians how the Macedonia churches, Church of Thessalonica, the Berean Christians, the Church of Philippi, he's showing the Corinthians how the Macedonia churches, how that God used them to put him on the mission field. You see, the Corinthians had promised an offer the year before, and they had not followed through with it. And what Paul is doing here, he's reminded them. He said, Corinthians, look at the Macedonians. Look at them. Look at verse 2. How? That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality or their liberal giving. Now what Paul is saying is, Corinthians, look at the Macedonians. They don't have any money. They don't have anything but they have God. And it was the Macedonians that put Paul on the mission field. The Corinthians had promised, but they hadn't followed through with it. So I'll say, first of all tonight, God is able in all trials tonight. I don't know what your trial is tonight. I don't know what your tribulation is tonight. I don't know what your trouble is tonight. But I'll say, God, man, I feel God. I say God is able in all trials tonight. Get a look at verse number 2. Paul is saying to those Corinthians, these churches are going through great trials. They're going through afflictions. How that a great trial in the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty, abounded to the riches of their liberty. Listen to me tonight. They're going through a hard time. But I'll say this tonight. God is able in all trials tonight. There's not a one of us in this room that have been through some kind of trial. Either you've come out of one, or in one, or getting ready to go in one. That's just a Christian life. And I'll just say this to you tonight. God is able in all trials tonight. It doesn't matter what the situation is. I say, God is able in all trials tonight. You say, preacher, I'm in one of the deepest trials I've ever been in. I got some good news for you. There's a God in this Bible that's able tonight. Hallelujah. He's able to see you through. He's able to help you tonight. God's able in all trials tonight. You know, I wish it was true what they say on TV. You know, the Gambit and Clamit game. You know that outfit? I was somewhere in the motel the other day. And I flipped through the channels, and this religious channel, supposed to be a religious channel, I got looking this dude on there, and I thought, that guy talks just like Jim Baker. And he acts just like Jim Baker. I may remember the PTL Club. Y'all remember that? Brother Robert was a member of it. Are you listening? The PTL Club. And hear what I'm saying tonight. I thought, that dude sounds like Jim Baker back in the 80s and 90s before he went to prison. And are y'all hearing me? By the way, I ain't got time to tell that story, but anyhow, I thought, that sounded like Jim Baker. And son, I got to looking. It was Jim Baker. It really was him. I thought he's in prison. Man, he's back, got a TV broadcast. I mean, I'm telling you, people was calling him money right and left and giving him money. Are you listening to me? Hey, listen to me now. I wish it was true what some of them say. They say if you live for God, you'll never have a problem. If you live for God, you'll always have money. If you live for God, you'll never be sick. If you live for God, all this is going to happen. Son, I must be backslid to the devil. Are y'all hearing me? Seems like the harder I try, the worse it gets sometimes. But I want to say, listen to me now. And by the way, try to fit that theology in the Bible. Try to fit that theology with the Apostle Paul. They appreciate him so much they stoned him. And hear what I'm saying to you tonight. God's able in all trials tonight. The churches of Macedonia was going through trials and afflictions. I want to say, church tonight, listen to me. God's able in all trials tonight. I want to say number two, and I'm going to leave the text, but I'm coming back in a minute. God's not only able in all trials, but I want to say tonight, God's able in all tests. Test. I love tests. My favorite thing when I went to school, and I did go, was take tests. I love it. I'd take the same one 9 times. Hear what I'm saying tonight. God's able in all tests. And what I mean by that is simply this. Genesis 22, don't turn, we don't have time, but Genesis 22, God speaks to a man by the name of Abraham. And he said, Abraham, Abraham, take now thy son, thy only son. Talking about Isaac. That's who the seed line's coming through, by the way. Thy only son, up on the mount that I'm going to show you. And you know the story. He takes him up on Mount Moriah. And they go up on Mount Moriah. And he's getting ready to offer him up as a burnt sacrifice. That's crumbled into ashes. And he's getting ready to offer him up. Bible said in Genesis 1:1, or Genesis 22:1, and that God did tempt Abraham. Now, you and I both know what that word means. The word tempt there is not the sense that being tempted by evil. But whether it's the same word as we get our word test from. And God is testing Abraham. And by the way, can I say this tonight? Hey, the devil tempts you and I to bring us down. God tests us to bring us up. Are you hearing me? And God did tempt Abraham. He said, take now thy son, thy only son, up on the mountain I'm going to show you. And you know the story. And get on top of the mountain. Well, Ezekiel sang that to me last night. He knows all about Genesis 22. I believe God's going to call that boy to preach. Amen. He's done pretty good preaching now. But here's what I started to say. You say, who's Ezekiel? He's 3 years old. But listen to this. God said, you take him up and offer him up. And you know the story. They go on top of Mount Moriah. He said, Isaac said, here's the wood, here's the fire, here's the altar, but where is the sacrifice? Abraham said, son, God, that's El Shaddai, by the way, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Listen to me tonight. You say, why did God do that to Abraham? Did God not know what Abraham would do? God knew exactly what Abraham would do. But God wanted Abraham to see what Abraham would do. And I'll say this to you now. Those tests will come sometime. And I'll say to you, listen to me now. In all tests and all trials tonight, I want to say praise God. I say God's able tonight. In all tests tonight. What's the test you're going through? What's the problem you're going through tonight? God's able in all tests. I probably told this, I can look back and tell you in 2 minutes. Ain't got 2 minutes to do it. I may have told this here before. Years ago, I was preaching in Germany. And you used to preach about every year in Germany. And you went with me to Germany, didn't you? But anyhow, met this guy in the Air Force. I was preaching to military people. He said, I'm going to be out of the military here in a year or so. God's called me to preach. And I want to go to Bible college. And I want to come back to the States. He said, I need to go to one to where I can work, provide for my family, and go to Bible college too. I said, I know where there's one at. He said, where? I said, Calvary Baptist Bible College, King, North Carolina, where Brother Broyhill's a pastor now, Brother Baker's pastor then. He said, okay. Well, make a long story short, he got out of the military, got out of the Air Force, and moved to North Carolina, and moved to the King area, and went to Bible college there at Calvary Baptist College. And I was over there preaching a mission conference for Brother Baker many years ago, when they first went into the new building they got right now. And I was preaching a mission conference. And on Saturday night of that, we had an international supper. And they bring all this mystery meat in. And the international supper. This brother come up to me and he said, I want to ask you a question. And his wife's sitting here beside him. They got two or three little young'uns. And he said, what do you do if God puts a number on your heart to give to missions? And you know if you give that, you're not going to have enough money to pay your bills. Not going to have enough money to do this and that. Buy groceries and so on and so forth. He said, what am I supposed to do? And I stood there and I looked down at him and I looked down at his wife. They had tears in their eyes. I looked down at them little children. You're looking at a papa. And I looked down at them little children and the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, you better tell him the truth. I know what I wanted to tell him, Brother Randy, but the Spirit of God said, you better tell him the truth. I said, let me ask you a question, sir. Are you 100% sure God told you to give that figure and put that figure on your faith promise card from this? Are you 100% sure God said do that? He said, preacher, there's not a doubt in my mind. I said, okay, if God said do that, I'd highly recommend minding God. That's pretty hard for me to tell him that. But by the way, I still recommend that. Obey God. And so I finished the mission conference on Sunday. And I left, and I'd been gone for several months. And I was back at the Bible college preaching in their chapel service one day. And when I walked into the building I'd do the chapel, he met me. He said, I want to see you after service. I thought, oh, Lord. Are you listening? And he said, I'll talk to you after the service. So he met me out in the hall after chapel service, and he started crying, looked at me with tears in his eye. He said, you remember when you was up here a few months ago preaching a mission conference? I said, I do. He said, you remember me asking you that question about faith? I said, I do. He looked at me with tears running down his face. He said, preacher, I just want to tell you something. God is so faithful. God is so true. I did exactly what he said do. I've not missed a bill. We've not missed one payment on our house. Our children's got here. Are y'all hearing me tonight? God's able in all tests. Sometimes God will test you. Not that he'll see what you do. He knows what you're going to do. But he wants you to see what you're going to do. And I'll tell you something now. Hallelujah, God's able in all tests. I don't know what your test is tonight. I don't know what your trial is tonight. But I just want to come and tell you tonight and put the icing on the cake of this faith promise meeting. God's able, thank God. I say God's able tonight. God's able in all tests. God's able in all trials. Are you listening? I shouldn't tell this. Did I tell y'all this before? Did I say this before? Oh, no. Years ago, I bought a motorcycle. And I think they was with me when I bought it. Probably hadn't been married long. We was in Tennessee. I done a dumb thing. I would have bought a motorcycle. I like to die bringing that thing home. It was colder. It was so cold. I rode that stupid thing all the way from Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. It wasn't a meeting. So make a long story short, I got home and got that motorcycle. And, like father, like son, he wanted a motorcycle. So I don't remember if he got one or rode mine. Well, he probably rode mine. It's probably what happened. You know, he rides mine. But anyhow, I don't have one no more. But here's what happened. I told him, I said, son, if you come ride a motorcycle, you got to get motorcycle endorsements. How many knows what I'm talking about? CDL endorsements. You know what they mean? Well, you got to have a motorcycle endorsement. And then, so he goes over to the driver's license place. To get, y'all remember me telling this? And to get his CD, to get his motorcycle endorsement. And he comes back over to the house. I lived at Faith Lane at that time in Yakinville. And he failed the test. And I pretty much laughed at him. I said, son, it ain't 25. How did you fail it twice? Lawbreaker. He's just an old lawbreaker. Well, a few weeks went by. He failed the test. A few weeks went by, I went to get mine. That's the dumbest 25 questions I've ever seen in my life. I'm honest. If you'll write down on that test, write opposite what you think the answer is, you'll get it right. I'm telling the truth. And I took that stupid test. I didn't even start to pass it. It wasn't even the same department of. I about failed everything. And that officer, I looked at him, I said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. He said, don't worry, preacher. Said, I failed it too. I went back a few days later, took it again. Did you tell him? I failed that stupid thing again. And when I went back the third time, brother, I really believe I failed it again, but he felt sorry for me. Just give them to me. Are you listening to me? So I'll tell you something tonight. God's able to all test. I don't know what your test is tonight. I don't know what your trial is tonight. I just want to come back and tell you this evening. Thank God God's able tonight. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what you're going through. Hey, hallelujah, the God of this Bible, God's able this evening. God's able in all tests. God's able in all trials. But then I want to say, God's able in all times. All times. I don't want to get off on this because if I do, I'll have to go see Miss Dawn tomorrow and get her to double my blood pressure medicine. I feel proud of myself. I've got her down to 5 milligrams. And Miss Dawn, I've lost about 14 pounds. Are you listening? Listen, it's just wonderful. God's able in all diets. But listen to this. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. When I think about the situation of our country right now, you know who the biggest enemy to America is right now? It's one person. You want me to call his name? We're on the internet. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you this afternoon, done more damage to hurt families, done more damage to hurt our country, done more damage to hurt our military, done more damage to hurt our relationship with other countries, done more damage to hurt the everyday man that goes to works every day and draws us out. Done more, but I will say this, heaven said what I've just said. If that bothers you, you just have to take a pill and get over it. Because I'm telling the truth. Are you listening to me now? And by the way, I'll just say this real quick. It's not Democrats and Republicans no more. That's from out of the ball game. That's not it tonight. You say, what's the issue? Right and wrong. Yeah. But here's what it starts to say. God's able in all times. Yes. You say, do you realize who's in the Capitol Hill? I ain't looking to Capitol Hill. I'm looking to Calvary's Hill. Yeah. And I'll just say this today. God's able in all times tonight. You say, it's tough time. Join the club, man. But I don't say God's able, thank God. Hey, in all times tonight. Get this, and I'm going to close in a minute. I love the book of Ruth. I love studying the book of Ruth. Probably my favorite book, the Old Testament. Joseph's my favorite character, Old Testament. I like Joseph's good mama named him Joseph. She did, but listen to this. Y'all didn't get that, but listen to this. Ruth, when you come to the book of Ruth, Elimelech and Naomi makes a bad mistake. There was a famine in the land of Bethlehem. And guess what they done when the famine come? They moved out of Bethlehem and moved to Moab. Bethlehem, the house of bread. And the Bible said they moved to Moab. And when they get to Moab, they stay 10 years. Take you a lot longer to get out than it did to get there, I promise you that. And say they stay 10 years. While Naomi is there, Elimelech dies. Mahlon, her son, dies. Chilion, her other son, dies. They both had married heathen Moabitess girls, Orpah and Ruth. And make a long story short, after 10 years, Naomi heard thou was bred in Bethlehem. You don't experience the blessings when you're backslid. You just hear about them. She heard there was bread in Bethlehem. So she turns, and make a long story short, Goose, she goes back to Bethlehem. And I'll tell you the condition of Naomi's spiritual condition. When she starts to go back to Bethlehem from Moab, she tells both of her daughter-in-laws, after their husbands has died, she tells both of her daughter-in-laws to stay in Moab. How sad. How wicked. And Ruth came out. Orpha turned and went back. Are y'all with me tonight? Here's my thought. When she got to Bethlehem, the Bible said all the city, in chapter 1 I read a while ago, all the city was moved about when they saw her. And they said, is this not Naomi? She said, don't call Naomi, but call me Mara, because the Almighty had dealt bitterly with me. Get this next statement she makes. I went out full, but the Lord's brought me home empty. I went out full, but the Lord's brought me home empty. In Bethlehem, 10 years prior to that, there's a famine. She goes out what? Full. Why did she leave? Are y'all with me tonight? Why in the world did she ever leave? She went out full. Here's my thought tonight. God's able in all times. You say, preacher, guys, it's $3.50 a gallon. Hey, God's able in all times. Hey, preacher, you know how much groceries is? I don't know how much groceries is. I didn't pay for it. I don't want to know. My wife, she'll come in from the grocery store, have a few bags in the back of the car. She said, do you know what this right here costs? I said, no, and I don't want to know. God, hear me? It's not good for my blood pressure. I'll have to go see Dr. Lee. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you this evening, God's able in all times tonight. Why in the world did they ever leave? They went out full. I tell you, there may be a famine at your house, but I got some good news, said God. God's able in all times. I know I said this since I said this. It makes good sense, don't it? I know I have said this since I said it the first time. My gas bill. Unbelievable. Different state all the time, driving all the time. And every time I pull up the gas pump, I think about the guy stopping the pipeline. I think about what happened the first 6 hours he was president. Are y'all with me? But I have to quit thinking about that. Because if I keep thinking about it, I'll knock that bump down. I'll knock that gas pump over. So I got to quit thinking about it. Here's my thought, get my thought. And how long has he been president? I really didn't set that up that way. But here's what I started to say. 2 years, 2.5 years, whatever it is. Don't you listen to me. Brother Stan, I've yet to pull up to a gas pump and fill my car up with gas. Somebody come to me this morning and asked me who paid for that gas the other week in another state. Lord. One guy come up to me this morning and said, you better pay for that gas, not driving, not paying for that gas. Somebody paid for it. Here's my thought. In the last 2.5 years, I've yet to drive, and I fill up about 2 or 3 times a week. And I've yet to drive up to a gas pump and fill my car up with gas without either have the money in my pocket, and I normally get on a credit card, and you get the BP card, you get 15 cents a gallon off. Hello? I'm not a Jew, but my father is. And so I normally get on that card. I've yet to fill my car up with gas. Either I have the money in my pocket, or either I have enough money in our checking account to pay that bill every month when it comes. What's your thought, preacher? My thought is this: God's able in all times. Listen, I don't care if gas goes to $10. I don't care if gas goes $10 a gallon. I hope it don't. But I'll tell you something tonight. God's never let me down one time. Amen. God's never failed me one time. And I'll say to you tonight, God's able in all time. Preacher, I've never seen a time like this. I haven't either. I was trying to think about this morning. How many presidents? I got to get off that. But listen to me. I've never seen a time like it is right now. But I want to go on record tonight and on the internet, people, to hear what I'm saying. God's able tonight. God's not going to forsake you, Brother Randy. Listen to me. If you'll tithe, give the missions, take care of the man of God, you watch God take care of you. That's pretty evident around here. Are you listening? Hey, God's able in all times. She went out full, but she come home empty. Why did she leave? God's able in all times. I'm done. God's able in all times. God's able in all trials. God's able in all tests. Look at verse 8 and I'm done. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have in all sufficiency and all, what's the next word? Starts with a T. God's able in all trials. God's able in all tests. God's able in all times. God's able in all things. All things. Are y'all hearing me? All things. Look at verse 8. I love the alls in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have an all sufficiency in all things. I like them alls, don't y'all? And look who them alls are wrote to. It's to you and I. And I'll just say this in closing tonight. God is able in all things tonight. The Bible said again, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. You know what that means? Tell me what I'm doing right now. You're supposed to tell me. What am I doing right now? I'm looking towards Him. Hey, honey, you're pretty. Are you married? You're not married. Look at me. What am I doing right now? That's exactly right, honey. She's smarter than both of y'all. Did you see what that verse said? And God is able to make all grace abound towards. How would you like for God to look in your direction? That's what the verse says. How would you like God to look? Hey, listen to me tonight. You do what you're supposed to. The Bible said, and God's able to make all grace abound towards you. Towards you. Towards you. I know I'll probably give you this illustration. When Rebecca was small, we lived in the parsonage at Northwood. No, I didn't. When Rebecca was small, I lived in the parsonage at Northwood. Where did I pastor then? Turner's Creek. It's been so far back I can't remember. Turner's Creek. When Rebecca's about this size, she always wanted to sleep with my wife and I. We never would let her sleep with us, her or Jonathan, either one. Now, in my latter years, I've changed about that. You mamas and daddies, I'll let them young and sleep with you. God help you. Are you listening? I've changed about that in my latter years, Brother Bailey. Well, listen to this. Rebecca'd always scream every night, Mama, I want to come and lay with y'all. Her bedroom was here. My bedroom was here. Her bedroom was here. Jonathan's bedroom was here. I want to come and lay with y'all. I want to sleep with y'all. I want to stay. But she'd go on and on and on. Mama, I'm talking about for an hour. I mean, on and on. I'm talking about a woman. Are y'all hearing me? Listen. After a while, I'd get tired of hearing it. And I'd say, Rebecca, if you say that one more time that you want to come and lay with us, I'm going to wear you out. So she'd quit saying it. She started saying this. Mama, remember? One night it was storming. It was really storming. Rebecca Pop was 2 years old. Jonathan was in the bassinet. And no, he wasn't even born then, was he? He was. But anyhow, I'm preaching. Be quiet. Listen to this. One night it was storming real bad. Right at the end of the parsonage. Hey, folks, I'm preaching, y'all be quiet. Right at the end of the parsonage, them great old big oak trees. Man, the lightning and thunder, and you can, boy, he'd just light up everything. Rebecca screaming and crying. Please, Mama, please, please. And it was either have her sleep with us or me sleep by myself. You'll get that in a minute. She let her come get in the bed with us. And you know what Rebecca done? She got in her bed. She turned, Josh, she turned her back to me and looked at Mama. She wouldn't even look at me. Turned her back to me. And I don't understand that, but it turned her back to me. And all of a sudden, it was darker than 3 midnights. We would not leave any lights on. I've changed my theology about that. If your youngins or your dog wants a light on, leave it on. and Rebecca, I would watch her. When the lightning would light up, she'd say, "Mama, you're looking at me. Mama, you're looking towards me." And then she began to, I watched her. She took her hand and would put over on Rebecca's face to make sure she'd look in that direction. Is anybody hooking up what I'm preaching? And God is able to make His grace abound toward. How would you like for God to look in your direction? Can I tell you something tonight? You honor God what you're supposed to be doing in missions. You watch God. And God is able to make all grace abound toward.